This address, with its included scripture reading, was part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on June 16, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
So this is the third part today of a little mini-series on spiritual warfare that I've been looking at over these past three Sundays. And the reading that I'm basing my words on today is in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read from verse 10, where Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must." So far, the text for today. And in a moment we're going to pray that prayer together. A couple of weeks ago, though, I met a fellow Lutheran Christian at a function that I was at, and I came to find that this person is a very faithful person at prayer. And their prayer life was very, very active, and I was listening intently about this. And as I left the function, the person said to me, "And Pastor Neville, please know that I am praying for you." And I think that the person was praying in particular, as I'm the assistant bishop of the LCA, and we've got some big meetings coming up in a few months' time. And she said to me as I was leaving, "And make sure that every day you're putting on the full armour of God." Those were her parting words to me. And I was thinking, wow, these are good words. These are very important words, and they're good words for all of us, I think, today. They actually reminded me of some advice that my mum gave me a long, long, long time ago when I first got my driver's license. Now, my mum didn't drive, and yet she had advice for me for many things, and this was one. And she said that when you go out, make sure, and this is, you know, the other lady had said to me, make sure you're putting on the full armour of God. She said, when you go out in your car, make sure that you are wearing clean underwear. And as a 16, almost 17-year-old, I'm sort of looking and thinking, okay. And then she followed it up with the second punch, you know, because she could see the confusion on my face. And she said, "Because what happens if you have a car accident?" And I'm thinking, my underwear is going to protect me? I mean, I'm really not quite sure, but she used to give me good advice. Sometimes when we hear God's good advice for us, we might treat it in a way that we can either take it or leave it. Put on the full armour of God, do we? Have you got yours on? This is the question, I think, for us today. Put on the full armour of God. This is the final week of a three-part series that we've been looking at spiritual warfare, spiritual attack. In week one, as we picked up a little resource that's given to people in the Lutheran Church of Australia, Rites and Resources for Pastoral Care, we found that our church provides pastors and pastoral carers with rites and resources for those people who are under spiritual attack or spiritual oppression they talk about. Last week, we recognised as we were in Revelation chapter 12, and someone reminded me last Sunday again of the reredos, which takes us into this sort of heavenly space as we worship, that the victory has been won. Christ has won the victory over sin, death, and the evil one. Where? On the cross. And the place of our worship together is the place where we are. We keep getting protected and equipped for living. And today, then, as we come to the third part of this little series, we've heard these words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, and in 10 minutes I just cannot do them justice, but I encourage you to be there for your own well-being in your devotional life. We'll begin today to explore what it means to put on the full armour of God, and particularly with a focus on prayer. So let's pray together, and you might like to join with me in the prayer that's on the screen. Let's pray. Stay with us, Lord Jesus, among us with your grace, that Satan may not harm us and we may live in peace. Amen. You and I stand on, or sit where we are, on holy ground, if you will. We have been made holy by the Spirit who brings us to faith in Jesus. The spiritual battle that's being played out is waged for hearts, for your heart, for mine, for the hearts of people together in Christian congregations. What's in your heart? Who do you trust? How do you live? And who do you call on? As Christians, when we are baptised, for example, maybe as infants, we are given a name to call on. We are given the very name of God to call on in the midst of the spiritual battle when it comes. It's the name that's put on us with the sign of the cross in baptism. And as I mentioned, and I have mentioned perhaps many times before, and let me get out my catechism. You know, Luther, in the small little catechism, he says, when you start your day, start it with that sign of the cross and the word of God, God's name for you for this day, God's name for you to call on in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps, I don't know, I find a good time to be reminded of this and of my baptism is when I'm having a shower in the morning. When I'm washing my face as I get started for the day. A reminder that God is saying, you are my precious one. You are my child. And so Luther would encourage us also with a morning prayer, and we'll pray this prayer together a little bit later, where he says, let your holy angel be with me this day so that the evil one will have no power over me. Luther wrote these words from his heart, I reckon, because he knew in his life what it was to face spiritual attack. And he felt the great release and relief that came with the good news of Christ for him on the cross and in his resurrection for him. Luther knew the burden, the spiritual burden, I would say, of not being able to be good enough to keep God's law. He knew that. And sometimes in our lives, we know it very much also. So God's freeing grace, flowing wonderfully from baptism through the whole story of my life, is where Luther would take us to. That reminds us that there is no power, no spiritual power in heaven and earth that can separate us, can separate you and me from the love of God in Christ. As I say, Luther knew the spiritual struggle. And he, in his own spiritual discipline and practices, would remind the evil one. He would simply say aloud, or he might shout aloud, I am baptized. Because the fullness of what all that is in God's work in his life and God's promise for him and for you and for me was his defense against the attack of the evil one. He's supposedly said that he wrote on his desk in chalk or whatever, "I am baptized," just to remind himself of that. Now, Luther also had an interesting weapon against the evil one in the middle of the night. In fact, we're told that he used flatulence to tell the devil to get lost. Now, I'm not quite sure about that, and maybe he needed my mum's good advice about wearing clean underwear every day. But it was so that he could say, "Evil one, you have no place. You deceiver, you accuser, you have no place. You have no power over me because Christ has won the victory for me." That's the place where we can live. God's grace in the words of blessing for him. And may I encourage you too, our confirmation class is meeting today, and they may at the end of that class use God's word as a word of blessing for one another. And we hear these words in our worship, don't we? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Our confirmation class share these words of blessing with one another, and maybe we make the sign of the cross on someone's forehead or perhaps on their palm down here. Using God's name for ourselves, in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, to call on God in prayer and to bring blessing to other people in our lives. Simple things, but oh so profound in God's battle for us against the evil one. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, that's the place for us to be. One of the devotional resources that I call on is a devotional app, a prayer app called Lectio 365. And I know a number of other people in the congregation know this, so that after I start my day in the name of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit with the sign of the cross, I put my earphones on and I listen into this. And I'm going to ask someone, Kathy Beaton, to come forward now, because Kathy also finds Lectio 365 as something very helpful, and it's led her to a deeper prayer life, I guess, in some senses. So, Kathy, welcome to the microphone. I'm going to invite you to speak, and maybe if I can start you off by asking you a question. Could you tell us about what attracted you most particularly to this app? Thank you.
Someone recommended it. Someone from Anne Mazzeo's prayer group recommended it to me towards the end of 2022. And I have to say, at that time, I was in a bit of a dark, well, overwhelmed, exhausted kind of place. And it became my life raft, actually. What I love about it is that it has a morning and evening rhythm. It includes scripture and often a psalm, well, usually a psalm as well. And it has questions for reflection. And what I love is space to reflect. Not everything allows the space. They might ask a question, but they don't always have the space. It uses prayers, hymns, and resources, songs from a wide range of sources, including and people from Teresa of Avila, Saint Ignatius, John Wesley, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, and even our own Martin Luther. I've heard the evening and morning prayer used in the app. And all of this in just 10 to 12 minutes. Now, for someone who's not a morning person, many of you will know that about me, I find that very helpful because, and I was reflecting, why is it? And it's because I can listen. I don't have to get out my Bible. The word is already there. I don't have to find a special place, although that's lovely if you can. And because I'm not a morning person, I often find it hard to find time to just sit and pray. So if I'm in a rush, which I often am coming to work, I can pray it and listen in the car. Or sometimes I even put it on while I'm getting dressed after my shower. So I can listen to it when I'm walking. I can listen to it anywhere. I really love that. Now, you can read it as well, but for a long time, I just listened. There was no work. It was just listening. And I love that. Although now, I must say, I do sometimes read along with it. And it's really helped me establish a regular morning and evening prayer. I often pray, try and pray first thing in the morning. And that helps set my focus, centres me on Jesus and prepares me for the day ahead. And then I often use it last thing at night. And I really mean last thing at night. My head is often on the pillow with one earphone in the other ear. And I listen to it and it just helps me reflect on the day and part of it invites me to ask God, where were you at work in my life? So it helps me review and reflect on the day in the eyes of God. And as I said, most of this is in 10 to 12 minutes in the morning and 7 to 8 minutes in the evening. Now, is it all right if I keep going?
You jump in, absolutely.
So, this prayer app has come out of the 24/7 prayer movement, which was began about 25 years ago in the UK. And there was a pastor, a minister, Pete Greig, who wanted to encourage his congregation to pray. And so he challenged them, let's see if we can pray 24 hours a day for 7 days, for a week. And they set aside a special room and called it the prayer room. And lo and behold, the response, people signed in for an hour here or there, or a couple of hours. People even signed in for the wee small hours of the morning. Some people love that. Some people are naturally awake then, much to their chagrin. So they used that as an opportunity to pray. And then they thought, why not pray for a bit longer? So they prayed 24/7 for a month. And other people heard about it and got interested and excited. And from that small beginning, an international movement, 24/7 prayer, has grown. And there are prayer rooms all around the world. We even have our own 24/7 Prayer Australia. I went to their first national gathering in October last year. And because of that, I was listening to an audio book by Pete Greig about how it all got going. And this was about a month before Pentecost. And I got a nudge from the Holy Spirit. It was a pretty big nudge because I was also attending meetings for Whitehorse Church's Care to plan for the week of prayer before Pentecost. And the little voice said to me, how about you have a go? Maybe not for a week, maybe just try a day, 24 hours of prayer as a Pentecost prayer vigil. And you've seen on the screen some photos of that prayer vigil. So you can now tell that it did go ahead. But I talked after that prayer. I thought, well, you're supposed to test these things from the Holy Spirit. So I talked to a few people to see if there was any interest. And there was. So I spoke to the staff and Pastor Neville on the following Monday and said, there's people interested. And so I got the green light, go ahead. So I talked to some more people. And Judy Pedersen came on board and said she'd help me organise it. And people started signing up. I used the 24/7 prayer resources to get an online sign up. Oh, how cool is that? And people signed up. And I passed out leaflets at those Whitehorse Church's Care prayer services in the week leading up. And we got people from, a couple of people came from other churches. And Pastor Nathan said he'd do a prayer walk. So we did a prayer walk around Box Hill. And we prayed for all the things and activities in Box Hill. And there was so much to pray for. Mm. It was wonderful. And so I'm feeling very, as you can tell, excited and motivated about prayer. So where to from here, you ask me, Pastor Neville.
I'm about to ask you that, yes.
So we've decided, of course, we'd love to do another Pentecost prayer vigil, but why wait till then? Why wait? So 24/7 prayer have an Advent prayer vigil or prayer resources. So we're going to try, with your help, to do an Advent, maybe just 24 hours. I don't think we're quite ready for a whole week. Maybe the Holy Spirit will give me another nudge and we might, but we'll start at least thinking about doing a 24-hour prayer vigil during Advent. So think about when you might like to sign up and come and pray. It's a wonderful opportunity. As you can see, we created all sorts of prayer spaces for people to come, and we prayed together, and people prayed on their own. And it was a wonderful opportunity. I have a beautiful book, which I meant to bring, but I forgot. So I will put it into some prayers that people wrote in that book into the Sunday Extra, perhaps next week.
Good idea. Yeah.
Another thing that we'd like to do is to have prayer partners, so that if you would like to pray with someone after the service, there will be someone that you can pray with. Now, I know during this time it's pretty hectic in here, but we've decided in the middle of the middle is probably the quietest spot after church. So hopefully we'll let you know when we're ready. If you would like to volunteer to be a prayer partner, there's a pad in your pew. Write your name and tell me, I would like to help with being a prayer partner. Put it in the offering bowl, or come and see me after the service. And we'd also like to get an email prayer group, so that if someone requests urgent prayer, we can send out to the prayer group, email prayer group, and they will pray. So I think those are the main things that we'd like to do following from here, and encourage people, of course, to get on board with the free prayer app, Lectio 365, if you don't already have your own prayer app.
Wonderful, thank you. Would you thank Kathy for just telling us about those things? Take up the whole armour of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Prayer is one of those gifts that God has given us to grow in. I'd really love to hear from you on the sorts of devotional resources that you have in your life that you find helpful. Today, if I can just draw your attention, if you're a member at St. Paul's, you would have received this in electronic form in an email this week, but at the back of the church there is just a two-page resource. It takes us into Lectio Divina, how a devotional methodology for us. And on the back, I've put up a range of scriptural texts, I should say, based on the things in Ephesians chapter 6 for our protection. I encourage you to be in God's word and people of prayer. There is Luther's morning and evening prayer in bite-sized chunk form to pop in your Bible or wherever it is that you might find helpful as you start your day. And as I say, if you have good resources, please let me know, because I'd like to share them with others in our community. Christ has won the victory. He's won the victory for you over the power of sin, over the power of death, over the power of the evil one. Dear friends in Christ, put on God's full armour, stand firm, and live boldly in Christ. Amen.